not just on Sundays, but for every day of the week. And this lectionary was clearly never selected for comfort. Because I'd say that our readings today have been selected for what you might call formation. Formation of each and every one of us. Formation requires friction. Formation involves a challenge. Just at a time when, with all that's going on in the world, the lazy part of me is looking for comfort and something really rather easy. So here's what the lectionary gives us in ordinary time. Jesus feeds a crowd of 5,000 and immediately retreats to pray alone. He walks on water and the disciples are terrified. He confronts the religious authorities about their treatment of the vulnerable. And he tells parables about money that make comfortable people feel uncomfortable. He asks his disciples who they think he is, and most of them get it completely wrong. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the Great Commandment, virtually all of this falls in ordinary time. And like I said, the lectionary has never been interested in keeping things calm and cosy. It also brings before us a text about a rich young ruler walking away from Jesus sad, just at the same time as the richest man in the world issues enough shares in his company to make him a dollar trillionaire. It schedules the feeding of the 5,000 during a summer when food banks are reporting historically high demand. And it assigned the do not worry passage from Matthew during the week when the stock market dropped several hundred points in a single day. Is this a coincidence? Or is it by design, do you think? Because if we don't notice the gap between what the lectionary points us towards and what the morning headlines are telling us, then we're not being honest to our calling as followers of Jesus. Take our gospel reading this morning. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And be in no doubt, he means me and you. So this and all the challenges that ordinary time brings to the fore amplify. They amplify our need for faith. Excuse me. I spoke last week about how the Apostle Paul, for him, it was all about faith. For him, faith was the key. You may remember, we ended by praying for a number of things. We thanked God that we're his church, the body of Christ in the world. We asked God to show us afresh the possibilities of our everyday lives. We offered to God the places where we live, where we work, where we study and where we play. Whatever the tasks of our week, wherever we are, we ask God to work through them, that they would bear fruit for his kingdom. And finally, we ask God to help each one of us to leave traces of grace wherever we are and whatever we do. So if it's all about faith, let's explore just a little bit more about what faith might look like. And to do this, I think it'd be helpful if, just for a start, we concentrated on our reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and specifically the beginning of chapter 5 that Christine read to us earlier. This is the second time the start of chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the Romans has been read this year. We had it back on the third Sunday in Lent. The same reading then, in the space of 10 weeks. Definitely unusual, but it does perhaps give us a clue that the people who designed the lectionary thought this was a really important reading. As Christians, we know that because of the work of God in Christ made real to us by the Holy Spirit, the world for us is now a different place. We are, to use one of Paul's most characteristic phrases, we are now justified by faith. And this, through absolutely no merit or work on our own part. But what does that feel like? What does it mean? It's always worth remembering, I think, that when the Bible was first written, it wasn't separated out into chapters and verses. These weren't added until many centuries later. So when, right at the beginning of our reading, Paul starts by saying, "Therefore," it's clear that we need to refer to what has been said immediately before our reading starts, if we're going to have any chance of understanding the context of what he's saying. In this case, what Paul had just said previously was this. He said, "It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification." Now, as with so much of Paul's writing, this was part of a long and complicated theological explanation of precisely what is justification by faith, and how this is not some new departure in God's relations with us, but rather is typical of all of God's dealings with us. Previously, it had all felt a bit abstract, but now, or as Paul puts it, "therefore," it suddenly all gets much more concrete. So we are justified by faith. What does that feel like? Well, if we listen to Paul, it feels like the end of a war. We are now at peace with God, Paul says. It's easy to think of peace as some kind of inner state of calm or quiet, but that can't be what Paul's talking about here. If you know anything about Paul's life, and particularly if you read the next few verses following on from our passage, you'll realise that for Paul, peace isn't a feeling. It's more of an actual change in the world. Paul's upbringing, his life as a Pharisee, his time spent persecuting Christians, all demonstrate that he knew what it was like to be at war with God. What Paul now knows, though, and what he's trying to get across to us all here in this passage, is that peace with God is knowing that you're on the same side as God forever. God has sent his ambassador, Jesus, to give you citizenship. Citizenship of the kingdom of God. Whatever happens from now on, you have rights as a follower of Christ. I like to think of it as a bit like having a passport. A passport issued by God's new kingdom. So according to Paul, the characteristic of a justified Christian is not a serene smile. It's hope. Hope is the beginning and the end of our journey. And we can set out on that journey because we now have a passport. A passport that identifies us as citizens of the kingdom of God. A passport that guarantees us freedom and life. A passport that gives us access to grace and peace with God. And it's a passport that is underwritten by faith. And none of this happens as a result of how much faith we can muster by our own efforts. And thank goodness for that, because I think I would find it worse than daunting if it all depended on the strength and consistency of whatever faith I could put together. Rather, it depends on God's unswerving love for each one of us. Love which we can do nothing to alienate and which we can do nothing to deserve. And Paul tells us that this is especially seen in Christ's willingness to die for us. And not only that, but to die for us while we were still sinners and enemies of God. And God in Christ does all this for us because he is worthy of the hope that we spoke of earlier, proving his love for us, a love which we should, in turn, both believe and trust. Faith, in other words. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who helped hundreds and hundreds of Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust in the Second War. She fully understood all of this when she said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I suppose that for most of us, the future has never been more unknown than it feels right now. I spoke earlier about how these are challenging times. And the question is, do we want to stand apart from all that is happening around us? Or put it this way, the essential question always remains. Do we want to continue just as spectators? Or should we apply our justification by faith, by truly trusting our unknown future to our true, faithful, and very much known God? Then we can surely answer all the challenges that God sets before us. And we can then also truly know that ordinary time isn't ordinary at all. Amen.
As we come into this time of prayer, we take a moment to be grateful for this peace in our busy lives. Thank you, Lord, that we are free to be here and to worship you, and free to represent you in the wider world without fear. We pray for all those Christians around the world who are oppressed, abused, and restricted because they worship you. Help us never to take our privilege for granted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the efforts of all those who are striving for peace in the Middle East, for the politicians and leaders, and for the military personnel who are in positions of danger. We also pray for the physical and mental well-being of those on the ships in the Strait of Hormuz, that they will soon be released and free to go on their way to their destinations. We ask that your Spirit will bring wisdom and reconciliation there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for the sunny weather and for the rainy weather we have had recently, for the positive impact on our crops and on our gardens. We ask that you will be with our farmers and those who provide our food around the whole world, helping our complex food chains to thrive in the face of the changes in weather which are threatening our global food security. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This morning we remember all of those who, in our walk with you, have shown us and show us now how to serve. We give thanks to you for them and for their example, whether in the church or in the wider community. We pray for those who lead the scouts, the guides, and the junior forces organizations. We pray for those in our health service at all levels for everything they do. And for the politicians who have to take abuse and criticism every day as they serve in their jobs. We ask for you to give them strength to continue, grace to serve in ways that really show your love, and that you will bless them with joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our community leaders, for those on the parish council, and the county and town councils who help our community to run smoothly. We pray for our own church leaders, Samuel, Graham, Mary, David, and Linnea. Uphold them and help them to lead us to serve our communities as well as to grow in faith. Thank you for the ways that we all in St. Margaret's serve each other, and help us to remember that you served us first. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At this time, we pray particularly for the healing and the well-being of Amanda R., continuing her treatment. Bob V., unwell at this time. Carol and Jeff, housebound, and particularly for Jeff, undergoing palliative care. Graham Lang, undergoing treatment, and his family. Harry and Sheila Knox. Laura G., recovering from a fall. Marie, mother of Tash, also recovering from a fall. Sandra Meso, unwell at this time. Sheila Cossens. Tiger Club and Youth Club, and the Sanctuary Cafe. And we bring before you, in a moment of quiet, all of those who we know who need your healing, your grace, or your support. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? We affirm what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing. Let's sing our third hymn, which is hymn 44, Blessed Assurance.
40 souls.
40? Perfect. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 5, Eucharistic Prayer 5 on page 15. The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please sit or kneel for our prayer. It is always right to give you thanks, God our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. You send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna on the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me. After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this to remember me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, as we bring this bread and wine and remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that we who share these gifts may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. We say together the familiar words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, a gift from heaven. Loving Father, we thank you for feeding us at the supper of your Son. Sustain us with your Spirit, that we may serve you here on earth until our joy is complete in heaven, and we share in the eternal banquet with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our final hymn is hymn 234, Immortal, Invisible. We stand to sing. So we leave this place with this blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you serve, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.